Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis. With attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome to Pin the Shoulders Podcast. Podcasting is so good, it will make you want to slap your mama. And then probably put her in a chokehold and maybe another move and then pin her. And then as soon as the ref gets to two, pull her back up so you can have just a little bit more. That's how good Pin the Shoulders Podcast is, folks. And I'm Serious Brad, your host. And of course, around me is my round table, Lethal J and Jordan J.R. Garber. What's up, boys? How are we doing tonight?
Great to be on the program once again for another good week. Looking forward to talking about what I love the most, and that is professional wrestling.
And peanut butter and jelly. I love that stuff. That's so good. Lethal J, what's going on, dude? What's going on, brother?
Not much, man.
No, go ahead, Brent. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, not much, man. Just another, looking forward to another evening and everything of discussing some fun stuff in the world of wrestling, because there's a shit ton of stuff to go over.
That's been our exact quote for like any time that we've come across an abundance of information that we need to cover. And it's just shitload, and it is a shitload. But folks, before we get to talking about professional wrestling and getting caught up with everything that's going on, of course, we need to kind of touch on something that's really pertinent that's going on in professional wrestling today, and that is the unfortunate passing of Bruno Sammartino at the age of 82. He has passed away. So we certainly want to give our condolences to the family of Bruno Sammartino. Our prayers are with you. I just need to say, right from, your first title reign with Buddy Rogers in 1963, right up into 2013, when you got inducted into the Hall of Fame, you, sir, have been a absolute beacon, an upper echelon of wrestler that everyone has looked up to and tried to build their career around, and in the sense of being a legend and being a absolute figure in professional wrestling. So it's an absolute sad day. And we here at Pin the Shoulders Podcast would like to have a 15-second moment of silence to show our respects to a true pillar in professional wrestling. So we're going to start that right now. All right, folks, all I got to say is heaven has one hell of a roster. All right, guys, there is a ton of stuff that we need to talk about. You know what? And I think we need to kind of just start off with New Japan Professional Wrestling, because to be honest with you, there is so much to cover with WWE right now, because when they say superstar shakeup, they really did more than just superstar shakeup. It's a whole new storyline right now, in every aspect over in WWE. So we got a lot to cover with them, but I kind of want to touch bases with New Japan, because that's where the hotness is, and that's where the good stuff is right now. So Lethal J, how about you hit us with what's cracking over there in Japan?
Yeah, sure. Up until last week there, I was away for a little while. I've had a lot going on in kind of my personal life and everything, but so I'm going to touch on some stuff. Like going back to a few events ago and everything, just to get everybody up to date on what's going on over there. So about a month or so ago, they had their big event in Los Angeles. That was a Strong Style Evolved. That was a really big show. Of course, main event was Golden Lovers, which is, of course, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi took on the Young Bucks in that was like a pretty big match, storyline wise and everything like that. And just a big match period. I mean, probably four of the best easily four of the best workers in all of wrestling today. Crazy match. It went 40 minutes. But like there wasn't a boring moment in the entire match. It was a 5-star match. It was the best tag team match I've seen in a really long time. I don't know if
when is it ever,
ever
boring though.
Yeah, exactly. But
you know what I mean?
That was just,
it's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That was a crazy match. Also, we saw Jay White retain his United States title over Hangman Page. That was a pretty good match, too. Hangman Page is really starting to impress me. He's really kind of coming into his own. He's actually got a big match coming up at Wrestling Dontaku, or however they say it. I'm terrible with the Japanese names, even though I watch it all the time.
They're hard. So hard.
They are, but he's actually got a big match coming up against Kenny Omega on the 3rd of May. So that's going to be a good match for sure. I'm really looking forward to anybody that kind of goes up against Omega. I mean, they always bring it. Even like the mid-carders, kind of like some people that come to mind, like, you know, like Trent Beretta. He had a crazy match with Omega not long ago. Of course, Jay White had a really good match with him not too long ago. So I'm expecting quite a bit out of the Omega and Hangman Page match that's going to be popping up.
Well, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of like what happens is, you know, that's how you transcend your career, is when you go up against people like Kenny Omega. I mean, that's,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If you're not going to step up your game, don't even bother saying that you're going to be on the card with the man, because he's not going to pull nothing for you. You know what I mean?
No,
he's going to push you to your limits. And if you can't keep up with it, then he's just going to fucking run you ragged. And I have to ask you real quick before you move on to everything, since you've touched on, you know, Kenny Omega, of course, and the Golden Lovers and the Young Bucks, and pretty much the elite right now, the Bullet Club. Dude, do you think they're going to be pushing Cody Rhodes out of the picture, or do you think Cody Rhodes is going to be going to singles? Because it seems like he may be getting pushed.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Cody's got another big match against Ibushi that same night. So, and I don't know, in my opinion, he's such a better singles competitor. I like him and his wife. Like they play really well off of each other, and I would much rather see him as a singles competitor, but I'm not really 100% sure, honestly. I mean, if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure Being the Elite is done. I think they just did their 100th episode, and so I don't really,
it bums me
and
out.
I think that that. Yeah, I think that was technically their final one, I think, from what I read. And, you know, that's obviously a pretty big. So I don't know, with that ending, I don't really know if you know, if they're going to continue to be a group or obviously and everything like that.
Man.
But I definitely like him as a singles competitor a lot more personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And it kind of bums me out because not to toot my own horn or anything, but, you know, if you guys haven't seen Being the Elite on YouTube, you should go check it out. It's really fucking awesome. But I ended up making this little video for Being the Elite, and it's just a little stupid video of, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, and it has an overscreen, and it flashes Being the Elite or whatever. But they've used that video for almost, I don't know, 80-something of their episodes of the 100. So it's kind of cool to watch Being the Elite and see how everything's progressing and know that I was part of it. And now it's fucking ending, and it's sad, and it upsets me. And I might have to eat a bunch of ice cream later just to get over it. It bums me out. Anyway,
yeah,
Lethal J,
yeah,
go ahead. Go ahead, man. Continue on with the New Japan report.
All right, yeah, sure. Something that was kind of let down a little bit was Rey Mysterio actually tore his bicep leading up to.
Sucks.
He was supposed to have a big match with Jushin Thunder Liger. Of course, that was a match everybody was really looking forward to. A couple light heavyweight legends there, but Will Ospreay actually ended up stepping in and taking his place. You know, he put on an okay match. I mean, nothing against Liger, but I mean, he can only go so hard nowadays. You know, he's getting up there in age and everything. I mean, he still puts on a good show, and he's still huge over with the crowd and everything like that. But so that was a good match and everything. Strong Style was good. They actually, and also during the event, they actually announced a couple things. They're coming back to the States for a G1 thing on July 7th.
Nice.
They also announced two follow-up Strong Style Evolved like dates, and that those are going to both be in the UK. I think it's still June 30th and July 1st, I think. So they're going to, those will be
really?
A couple, you know, yeah, they stack the, and they always stack those cards pretty good. So there'll be some good stuff on those cards and everything. But, yeah, those were a couple bigger announcements. I actually had another event after that, which was, Sakura Genesis. That was a really good card. Osprey had once again another ridiculous match with Marty Skrull. He was victorious over Skrull. That was another 5-star match, in my opinion. Those guys don't ever do any wrong. They have a huge rivalry for those who follow indie wrestling and everything like that. Those guys have been going at each other for years, from PWG to just everything. They've wrestled each other in probably just about every promotion. And they always put on a crazy good show.
Yeah, it's never
Osprey
bad.
Osprey right now is like one of the top wrestlers in the world. He's like huge over, and he's a great performer, and he's crazy young. I think he's only like 24 or 25. So, and he brings it every time. He actually had a little scare recently. I can't remember. It might even have been that match, but he took a really bad bump, like right on his neck, and hurt himself, kind of, and didn't.
On the apron or something like that.
Yeah, on the apron. He was an apron spot, and he landed like right on his head. He was actually worried that he wasn't going to be able to compete at WrestleMania weekend, but he ended up pulling through. I mean, he's a professional, so he ended up pulling through it, and he was able to compete. WrestleMania weekend and stuff. So that's always good. You know, nobody ever likes to see anybody get hurt, obviously.
Well, no.
And the Bullet Club kind of got a little revenge. This was Cody and, I think it was Cody and Hangman Page, or it might've been Cody and, no, it wasn't Squirrel. Yeah. Cody and Hangman Page, they kind of got a little bit of revenge, and they actually took on Kenny and Ibushi again. They actually went over this time and they won. Also on that card was Okada, and the winner of the New Japan Cup, Zack Sabre Jr., who is another guy who's getting a huge push.
I can't
get a really big push. Yeah, he actually just recently, you're about to see a lot more of him. He just signed on full time to New Japan. So
Yeah,
for sure. And he's such a good heel. I love him so much as a heel. He just signed on with them. So, I mean, who knows? We might get to see. I'm hoping to see a title run of some sort out of him. I don't know, you know, the Intercontinental title or something like that. I don't think that they'll put the big strap on him. But right now, everything that's going on, they kind of have like the road to Russell Dondacue going on. You know, there's a bunch of matches that lead up to the couple matches for the big night. After Okada beat Osprey after Okada beat Sabre Jr. at that, guess who made an appearance? But Tanahashi comes out, and we all know.
Nice.
The history between Tanahashi and Okada, that goes back years. They've had some of the best matches ever in wrestling. And they're actually scheduled to have a match May 4th at the second night of Wrestle Donahue. So that'll be awesome. Also on that card is going to be Osprey defending his title against Kushida. And of course they had a 5-star match earlier. Actually, excuse me, it was last year, I think. They've had a bunch of crazy good matches. Anytime those two are in the ring, they always bring it. So,
right.
Lots of good stuff coming from New Japan. There's lots of good stuff. I'm curious to see where they're going to be headed with that. Yeah, I just can't put it in. It's funny because, like, everything with New Japan, like, unless you follow a lot of the Japanese websites and everything like that, like, they don't get in-depth as, like, a lot of the other promotions. And I kind of like that. I kind of like how it's kind of – you don't have to make it out for yourself, but, like – you have to, well, I mean, you kind of do. You have to really watch, like, a lot of the cards, and you got to watch all, like, the small cards and everything like that for them to build stories because, you know, it's not like these guys are all over social media cutting promos like you see nowadays and everything like that. And all like this new stuff with WWE where like they're doing like the phone promos and everything like that and putting it on social media. You don't get a lot of that stuff. So really what you get is what you get watching the events and everything. So
exactly.
That's just about everything I've got for right now for them. Like I said, got two big events coming up. I actually want to say there's a Road to Donahue show tomorrow or the day after. Like I said, every couple days they have these Road to shows. Most of these matches are just big. Most of the matches on those cards are either Young Lion matches, which there's been a lot of good ones actually recently, and just like, you know, tag matches and stuff like that. I think the other night there was a big elimination tag match between Chaos and LIJ. So, you know, we got to see people like Suzuki and Naito kind of go at it and everything.
And they
did.
I actually watched that match, and like the cameras were on them the whole time, pretty much. Those two,
yeah,
they just like
yeah.
instantly, as soon as Suzuki got into the ring, it was on, dude. It was awesome.
Yeah,
I kind of like that
for
match.
Sure.
Yeah, it was a clusterfuck, but I mean, it was definitely a good match.
Yeah, no, it was one of the better matches recently that I've seen. So, yeah, so
yeah.
That's pretty much it to get everybody kind of caught up with New Japan. So get ready to watch those shows for you. For those of you who have New Japan World, you should get it. If you don't have it, you should get it. It's only $9. It's cheaper than WWE Network, and they've got everything they've ever released. And plus you get all the live events, you get all the Road to events. So that's how Lethal J keeps up with all that stuff. You know, I watch a lot of that stuff most of the time live when I can. If not, I'll catch it after work or after whatever. But that's what you need to get if you don't have it, for sure.
And that's
so.
The best thing. Like, everyone listening from like around the world, like, think about that. $9.99 for an unlimited library of fantastic Japanese wrestling, the best wrestling in the entire world. $9.99 a month, and you can listen to it on the go. Well, not listen to saying you can listen to our podcast on the go, of course, anywhere. But you can check out New Japan World. You can watch Japanese wrestling from any time in New Japan Pro Wrestling. Anywhere you are. That is so convenient. It still baffles me how technology is changing, but one positive of it is that more technology, more wrestling, and certainly New Japan World does provide that, so check that out. $9.99, that is literally $5 biweekly, or $4.99.999 or whatever.
And of course, guys,
great deal.
You know, with everything that is going on, sometimes we don't have time to watch it, but you know what? We like to read. Reading's okay. It's okay. I promise you, folks, reading is okay. I don't like to do it, but I heard it makes you smart, blah, 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 whatever. Go to thechairshot.com, and we have reviews for almost every single show that is cracking on the scene right now. And then we've got opinion columns. We've got other podcasts. Our lineup, Monday to Sunday, we got a podcast for every single day of the week on thechairshot.com. So you guys go there, check it out, use your head, thechairshot.com. Guys, I want to talk about a couple things in Impact Wrestling before we get to WWE. Impact Wrestling right now, they have a pay-per-view coming up. It's called Redemption. And there's a couple things that happen. I'm not going to talk about the whole show, but there's a couple spots that I need to touch on. Why? Because he's a legend. They're both legends, actually. Both spots I want to talk about. But the first one we're going to talk about is Eli Drake. He got that case, and the case was tag team championships. He was supposed to pick a partner. And the reason I want to touch on this also is because we had LAX, who are the current Impact wrestling tag team champions, that were on the show a couple weeks ago. We actually asked them, who's going to be Eli Drake's partner? He doesn't have a partner. He's not a tag team. He's not a tag partner wrestling type of guy. He's heavyweight champion. Who's it going to be? And of course they said, because they're, you know, one of the best tag teams in the world right now, we don't care. And it's kind of funny, because what had happened was big pop-up pump, big voodoo daddy, Scott Steiner shows up as Eli Drake's partner. And I tell you what, guys, it's funny because they said it. No, go ahead. Because I tell you what, when you give Scott Steiner a microphone, you never know what's going to happen. And I tell you, it was funny. All I got to say is he said, Google me, I'm world famous bitch. And I tell you what, as soon as he said that, I lost my shit because I remember I watched it. I was watching it at work and I fell out of my office chair. It was hilarious. But that's what's going to go down at Redemption. Eli Drake, Scott Steiner against LAX. And folks, if you're not watching Impact Wrestling right now, this is one of the reasons why you need to start watching Impact Wrestling, because of this match. I promise you it's going to be dope. What are you guys' thoughts on Scott Steiner being back in Impact Wrestling and going up against our past guest, LAX?
Oh, this is something that is one of the, like, we see Scott Steiner return, and, you know, there's going to be mixed reviews and mixed reactions and a lot of controversy following it. But you look at the facts, man. Scott Steiner is one of the greatest of all time. He, former WCW world champion, former WWE superstar. You know, he's not, I don't know if he's too accurate at math, but he can certainly win a world title. He can certainly dominate the competition. And he could certainly be a badass. And I think this is exactly what TNA needs right now. He's older. I'm not going to lie. Like, he doesn't have, like, he's not going to be as good as he was as when he was in his 20s or 30s. But there's definitely one more good run out of Scott Steiner, I think. And, man, I don't know if you guys met Scott Steiner, but what an intimidating individual. But at the same time, if you get on his good side, man, that guy is a fucking sweet dude. Really cool dude. Had an honor and a pleasure to interview him. And now we look 3 years later, he's back in Impact Wrestling. What is the future for Scott Steiner? You got, just got to keep watching Impact Wrestling to find out. And this match, I like this idea here where we have LAX, former guests on the program, going against Scott Steiner and Eli Drake. I think it brings in a perfect storyline between babyface and heel. And, man, like you said, Brad, Scott Steiner on the mic, if you give him a microphone, be prepared to get the
world
kids out of the room. He's
world famous bitch.
And he's gonna continue to do that. And that's gonna be Scott Steiner and TNA. Like, we don't know how long it's gonna last, but the time that he is there, it's definitely going to be enjoyable.
Absolutely. Lethal J, what do you think, man? Scott Steiner, dude, I know you have some memories about Scott Steiner and the Steiner brothers, in Michigan State, in WrestleMania. I think it was WrestleMania 8 or 9 or something like that, when they went to Michigan State and wrestled. Oh, man, it was dope. What are your thoughts on him being back in Impact? Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
So... I love me some Scott Steiner. I love me some long-haired Scott Steiner wearing a leotard. Now, when he became Big Papa Pump, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't a big fan of the character. I don't think he should ever have a mic in his hand, personally. But at the same time, like, it's Scott Steiner. I mean, he's going to put asses in the seats, that's for sure. I mean, he's definitely charismatic and stuff like that. Personally, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, of course, you know me, I'm Lethal J, but I think one of Impact's big problems, and the reason back when they were TNA that they ended up eventually falling by the wayside, is because they bring in all this, like, this type of talent, you know. And but with that said, though, I know Impact's definitely turned it around. I've heard a lot of good things on Impact. I haven't had a chance personally to watch a lot of Impact. I catch highlights every now and then, and I know that they do have a lot of young talent and a lot of, you know, talent that, you know, isn't non-recycled talent, I guess is the way to kind of put it and everything. But no, I mean, it's good to see him back. It's good to see him back. You know, like you said, it's a super nostalgic thing. I mean, you could say the same thing for when the WWE brings back guys like Goldberg and stuff like that. So I definitely understand why they're doing it. You know, like I said, I guess like Jordan said, you know, we're just going to kind of have to watch and see kind of where it goes. You know, I don't expect the match to be, you know, I don't expect it to be, you know, a barn burner or anything like that. But like I said, I mean, he's there for a certain reason, and that's, like I said, to put asses in the seats, and you never know what he's going to do or what he's going to say. And so, yeah, I guess that's my opinion on it.
It's fair. Hey, man, it's always good to see old faces. And that's what's great about, seeing legends come back is it kind of, in a weird way, it refreshes things a little bit. It kind of brings you back and kind of gives you that flow of blood, because it gives you those memories of like your favorite moments in WrestleMania or just wrestling period. And one of my favorite memories, a lot of my favorite memories come from ECW. And of course, the other topic I want to touch on is Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer came back and he put a little ass whipping on another guest, actually is part of this group, Dave Chris, of OVE, with his brother Jake Chris, and of course Sammy Callahan, the worldwide desperado. I don't know what he's calling himself right now. I think it's the there's something else he's calling himself. I forget, it's a new name, but I call, well, you know who Sammy Callahan is. Anyways, they had a little rivalry going right now with Stevie Richards and stuff like that. He hit him in the face with a bat. It's kind of cool what's going on with this, though. This is what I like about Impact Wrestling right now, is they're involving quite a bit of other promotions, like Lucha Crash, for example. They just they're doing stuff with them right now. And, of course, with this rivalry that Sammy Callahan and Stevie Richards had, they have brought Rockstar Professional Wrestling into the mix as well, which has been kind of cool to see other indie promotions being spotlighted on Impact Wrestling. Anyways, so they're about to put a beating on his wife, Stevie Richards' wife, Sammy Callahan was, and then lights go out, boom, Tommy Dreamer comes back. He's holding a kendo stick, and he puts a beating on Sammy Callahan and OVE. It was kind of cool. I liked it and enjoyed it. I enjoyed it even more, though, that they're setting up a match at Redemption. Stevie Richards, Moose, and Tommy Dreamer against OVE in a House of Hardcore Rules match. And if you guys don't know what that means, of course, Tommy Dreamer has his own promotion that's doing extremely well right now, and that's the House of Hardcore. So, that's two things I wanted to touch on with Impact Wrestling. It's going to be two dope matches. I don't know what the rest of them, guys, check it out. Go check out Impact Wrestling. They're doing some good things right now. I promise you, with the help of other promotions, and they're doing the right thing right now. I think they're on the right path, and hopefully, fingers crossed, they can thrive with what they're doing. What are you guys' thoughts of not just Tommy Dreamer coming back, but of them incorporating other promotions in with their pay-per-views. Lethal J, what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's the way to go for sure.
Right.
That's one thing that I have been wishing and wishing and wishing for WWE to do. You know, they're kind of doing that a little bit with places like Progress and stuff like that. But no, I hope one day in the future we can see more stuff like that with promotions like WWE. And, I mean, of course, New Japan used to have a kind of like a partnership. I don't know if they still do, but I know they used to have kind of like a little bit of a partnership back when Jeff Jarrett had a lot to do with like TNA and stuff like that. And, of course, all these indie promotions kind of they all help each other out. Like that I think is like really the way of the future. If you want to see some big time matches and everything, I mean, who wouldn't want to see, you know, New Japan and WWE, for instance, put together an event and stuff. So I think that you can get promotions, you know, involved with each other, I think that that's a good thing. It's a good thing for the business. It gets fans involved in other companies. It spreads the word of wrestling. I think it's a great idea.
But Jordan, well, Jared Roberts, sir, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know what? I think this is great for the business. You know, in wrestling right now, promotions have to work together. Promotions have to coexist. And the more people that work together, the more ideas that happen. And the more ideas that happen, the more of a chance of there is to have a success happen. And we've been seeing that with these partnerships. I think it's a fantastic thing. WWE was even doing it for the Cruiserweight Classic. It's good for professional wrestling, not just because you see all these different promotions on one show. Yeah, that's the great thing. But the most important thing is the word opportunity for a lot of wrestlers that are paying their dues and working very, very hard to get a shot somewhere. And when promotions coexist together, more opportunities happen. And for that and for the entertainment value of seeing more variety, I think this is something that's fantastic for the wrestling business, and I think this is something that has to continue to happen.
I agree 100%. And, folks, if that doesn't sell you on Impact Wrestling, the two things that I touched on, here's just a little bit of another match that happened. And all I got to say is Rosemary puts Taya Valkyrie through a table from the top turnbuckle. It was dope. It looked painful. And ouch. So go check out Impact Wrestling. Show your support. Show your support for all independent promotions. So here it is, guys. Since we, you know, touched on the independent promotions, New Japan Wrestling, a little bit of Ring of Honor, a little bit of Impact, we need to touch on WWE, because I tell you what, guys, I think they're actually doing a good job with this mix-up. Raw was off the chain. What was your favorite thing about Raw this week? I know, Lethal J, I know you've got some stuff to talk about. What was your favorite part about Raw? And then I'll let you know what I thought about it, because they're doing good. I'm excited about these lineup, the tag teams that they got lined up, man. It's just out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, Raw and SmackDown are both really good.
Oh yeah.
I know that from what I've read, there's also more stuff they had planned, but I guess like some people aren't like with the company right now because of touring and stuff like that, or people are getting ready to go on tour and stuff like that. But everything that they did was great. I was really hoping for Ambrose to show up, because I'm pretty sure he's cleared and I'm pretty sure he is set to go on the UK tour and everything. But everything with the mix up I liked. I liked Hardy winning the title and then immediately jumping ship.
Oh god, that was the best. Yep.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was almost a tell though, because it's the United States Championship is just a SmackDown title. You know what I mean? It just belongs on SmackDown, I feel, and I feel like the IC belt belongs on Raw. I can almost read it, but it was so dope to see Jeff Hardy not only come and grab the United States title, because that's what he did. He fucking took that shit. And it kind of like solidified the fact that he's going to be singles wrestler. I like that. I'm really excited about that. Anyways,
yeah.
go ahead, brother. Continue with your assessment.
Oh yeah, no. That's pretty much everything. I like the mix up. I actually caught a little bit more of SmackDown than I did of Raw. I got a big old list of everybody that was kind of shuffled around right in front of me and everything. But no, it's cool. I liked Owens and Zane going to Raw. I mean, that was a given. That was obviously going to happen. But the one thing I will say, though, that I'm getting a little fucking sick and tired of is Roman Reigns coming out and bitching about Brock Lesnar. I'm getting real sick and tired of this. Like, I already know. It's like, dude, I know that you come out and say the same damn thing about him, that he's a part-timer and he's Vince's boy. And I was a little upset, because I was really looking forward to him and Joe having a bit more of interaction, but I'm not sure entirely what's going to happen with that now that Joe got shipped over to SmackDown. So I was kind of looking forward to that, because they seemed to be kind of building towards something. I thought they were going to have a match at Backlash, but I'm not entirely sure if that's going to happen now. But, apparently, once again, they said apparently Lesnar is going to be on the show next week. I mean, I guess we'll see. I've got a little it's on the internet, so I can't really say I got insight on it, but I've read a little bit about his contract, and they're going to kind of be paying him appearance to appearance, basically. So, like, they'll kind of use him when they need him, and they're going to pay him kind of when they want him. It's like a real kind of short-term contract from what I've read. Apparently, it'll also be over before SummerSlam, so I don't know if that means that we're going to miss out on a big Brock Lesnar SummerSlam match, but I guess actually WWE and UFC kind of work together with the contract, because Lesnar is going to definitely have a fight this year in UFC. That's pretty much a given. And apparently both sides kind of came to a deal where, like, they can both use him when they want to use him, kind of, and stuff. And so, you know, that I'm interested to see how that's going to work out and everything like that. But I don't know. I'm kind of over Lesnar. My assumptions haven't always been right. I was expecting him to lose the title at Mania. I'm assuming that he's going to lose the title to Reigns at Greatest Royal Rumble. I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But like I said, I've assumed incorrectly many times before. So, Raw was really good. SmackDown was really good. They were both great shows.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I thought it was great as well. Yes, yeah, sorry about that. I thought superstar shakeups were really good as well. It was a little I kind of missed the whole format of the WWE draft process and how they had the whole, you know, match for a draft pick. It kind of made things a little more interesting, some more hype. However, I like how this shakeup came out of nowhere, where wrestlers are attacked from behind and things along those lines. Like Jinder Mahal started off the show, and obviously Jeff Hardy won the United States title, which was a great start. If we're talking superstar shakeup and superstar wise, let's look at Bobby Roode. He's 40 years old,
yeah,
and he might seem a little bit as interesting as an overcooked steak, according to some sources. But the man's 40 years old. The man can still go, and he's going to continue to go. And this is his first time on Raw, moving from SmackDown. So, you know, Bobby Roode's done it all. He's made a name for himself in TNA since the early days of the company. And now with the superstar shakeup, it's great to see him on Raw. Natalia, great to see her on Raw as well. It's good to see her being back as a babyface. I know most people haven't been paying too much attention to Natalia, but it should be very interesting to see what she can contribute to the women's division. And those are my top two for Raw. SmackDown, I'll have one. He's my favorite wrestler. He's the reason why I wanted to be in the business. Jeff Hardy, it's great to see him on SmackDown on the shakeup. And not just on SmackDown, but as the United States champion. So it's great to have another belt on him. I like what they're doing with that. I was a little shocked with the timing of the championship win with his DUI. But you know what? This is Jeff Hardy. We're talking about somebody who's wrestled for almost 30 years, and he's paid his dues. And in wrestling, yeah, the whole time you don't finish paying your dues. But the man's 30 years old, 40 years old. He's done it all. He still can continue to put on a good show. Let the guy do what he wants. Like, unless it's another Victory Road incident, then, yeah, we're not going to – as long as he's not wrestling his matches all fucked up, then,
yeah.
Like, you know what? He has a DUI. I'm happy WWE didn't get rid of him. Because, you know what? Yeah. It's just at this point where it's continuing to happen. And people don't understand how hard it is to be that person who received that DUI or received that criminal charge. And you guys don't know how bad he feels as well. You know, improving yourself and making yourself a bigger and better person is – it's not easy as 1, 2, 3. It takes a lot of work. And Jeff Hardy's been doing that. He's already a better person. You know what? People make mistakes, and that's just the way the world is. I don't think the world should be – hating on Jeff Hardy. I think they should be looking at about what he can do in the ring and not what he's doing outside of it.
Well, that's just a testament actually to WWE and how supportive they are of their talent. You know, they could have shut him down. They could have put him in the back of the line for making a mistake in the public eye, but they decided to, showed the support.
And Roman Reigns is on SmackDown now too, which I should bring up as well.
Yeah,
which is good.
I loved all the
Lethal J was bringing up him being tired of like this whole Brock Lesnar walking to the ring, bitching, whining, and complaining, and now we see him on a different brand. So it's good to put an end to that feud and see Brock Lesnar face bigger things from the get go. you know, Roman Reigns. You know, I like what the WWE, he's Vince's boy because he's in the Samoan wrestling family. But just because you're a part of the Samoan dynasty, like one of the biggest wrestling families of all time, but it doesn't mean you're like a fantastic wrestler and the best in the world. He was brought to WWE through a management decision and through connections, and it's like adding preservatives to a hot dog to make it look good. What they're doing is they're adding a bunch of fucking lard to the character, and it came to the point where there's too much lard in the food product to be enjoyed. And that's the same thing with Roman Reigns. They keep stuffing him up, nothing to show. So
FDA
to see him on SmackDown. No, he hasn't proven anything. I don't think he's proven anything, and I think there's mid-card guys that could go longer than him in the ring. And that's just my opinion. You know, people might disagree with me, people might agree with me, but that's the simple thing. It's just an opinion. I'm not in the WWE, so I'm a wrestling journalist. I've been doing this for a long time. But Roman Reigns, I think he's just over-processed. It's time for something new for him and not on the main event level.
Well, speaking of some new stuff that's been happening on the Superstar Shakeup, one of my favorite things that happened on Raw, and I'm a fan of Dolph Ziggler. I'm not a fan of what they're doing with him, and finally they may have done something with Dolph Ziggler, and that is pair him with Drew McIntyre. He was on NXT, folks. He got injured. That's why CN Almas was the champion no longer, because Aleister Black is, thank thy God. But anyways, it's good to see these two guys together. And it's kind of funny because I've been seeing pictures in the chairshot.com Instagram account, which you guys should go check out and follow. Posted a picture of Shawn Michaels and Kevin Nash. And then right below it was Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. And I think that's a good pairing. I think that's a good idea. They literally have everything that you could possibly want in a tag team, in the sense of agility, strength, it just all around. It's just a great team. I'm hoping that they continue on with this pairing. I hope it's just not a way for them to kind of like pal around together. You know what I mean? If they're gonna start a group, that's cool. But I really would like to see them as a tag team and maybe, you know, run for the gold or whatever. But that's one of my favorite things that happened on Raw, is them bringing Dolph Ziggler on and pairing him with Drew McIntyre. Another thing that I really enjoyed was the fact that not the Drew McIntyre, but the Ember Moon thing. I was really worried that when Ember Moon came to Raw that she was going to get lost in the fray. And then, nope, they gave her a match against Mickie James, kept it fresh, kept Ember Moon, coming over to Raw, coming over to the main roster, really fresh in everyone's mind. So I really like that. I'm always really concerned with that, because you have a lot of great people coming over from NXT and they get lost in the fray. Like, their character gets switched up just a little bit. It gets tweaked a little bit and they just kind of get swept underneath the rug. And I don't like that. I was really worried that's what was going to happen with Ember Moon, but no, they threw her right onto the show, threw her right into a match with, you know, a legend in my book, Mickie James. So I really like that. And of course I'm enjoying Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, being a tag team, and that's another thing. With this Superstar Shakeup, they have a lot of tag teams that they're kind of starting. And that really excites me, because I really, really enjoy tag team wrestling. It's the best in professional wrestling is tag team wrestling. I think that's kind of what defines professional wrestling when it comes to excitement is the tag team division. And I didn't want that to get lost. And with the Superstar Shakeup, you've got, you know, Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler. You've got who else is tagging together on SmackDown? That was kind of – there's a team that got together. Help me out, guys.
The Bar? The Bar's on SmackDown now.
The Bar's on SmackDown. But there's a couple pairings that happened – throughout the show. I'm trying to think. I can't think of it right now. I'm blowing a brain fart. I have, but it really concentrated on pairing in the superstar shakeup, and I really the Authors of Pain. They're on Raw now.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
That was actually one thing I kind of forgot to. That was actually one thing I kind of forgot to touch on, and I was really excited. I was really happy for everybody that got called up from NXT. I loved everybody. I loved every single person that got called up for NXT. Of course, Ember Moon, like you said, the Authors of Pain, Sanity. Sanity is now on the main roster, the entire group. We got to see, and one of my favorites, Almas. Almas is my pick, actually, to win Money in the Bank this year, personally. That's who I think is going to take it. I loved all the call-ups, everybody that came up from NXT. And that's a great thing, not just for the main roster, but that's a great thing for NXT because that's going to create lots of room down there. You're going to see a lot more people kind of making a name for themselves, popping up in NXT. And NXT is hot. NXT is hot right now, so it's only going to get better. So, yeah, I that's one thing I really, really enjoyed was all the call-ups and everything and everybody that came up to the main roster.
Absolutely.
Jordan JR, what are your thoughts, man? You know, with the pairing that's going on right now, do you think tag team wrestling is going to be the spotlight for this year?
Well, yeah, tag team wrestling has always been the spotlight, in my opinion. You just look at the teams, and you can't really deny the fact. Just watch it nowadays. Tag team wrestling was on a roll. The whole Powers of Pain thing, I'm not really too bummed out. I could see where they're going with this. But, man, why do you have to – I wish they could have waited at least, like, 2 or 3 more weeks before they got rid of Paul Ellering as their manager. You know how good it was to see him on Raw again? He was on Raw and, like, he was just in WWE managing the Road Warriors in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, once we see him back in 2018, it's only for one fucking episode. He was, like, one of my favorite managers. So that was a bit of a – it sucked. But you know what? I see what they're doing with it. I can understand it. He was there to I see where they're going with the storyline. He helped them to this point. They don't need him anymore. They don't need Paul Ellering anymore, and they're going solo. I understand that, but they should have waited probably 2 or 3 weeks. That is like seeing Paul Ellering. He's great.
My personal opinion with that whole thing is, like, I actually think, and this is like my opinion for the behind the scenes part of it. Because I was a little bummed too, like Jordan said, because I'm a big Paul Ellering fan. Like, I've loved him for a long, like he said, back when he managed the Road Warriors and everything. But I have a big feeling that it was probably maybe a decision on his part. And the reason I say that is because he's obviously an older guy now. And I think, honestly, a big part of it was probably he probably doesn't want to deal with the WWE schedule. That was my guess, because obviously with NXT, you got tapings. You know, you tape 2 months worth of shows and one thing, and you got a couple live events and stuff like that, and that's it. Meanwhile, with WWE, he's going to be traveling all the time. You know, every week he's going to be in a different state. So that was my opinion kind of with that. But yeah, I definitely agree with Jordan. I wish he was kind of sticking around a little bit more, but I think that might have played a factor in it.
Well, the thing is, too, you know, you look at WWE's travel schedule, and it's immenseless. You know, TNA, you're out once every 2 months for 3 weeks, and you're doing tapings. And then you can go home, you can go do your regular job, you can do stuff like that. But with WWE, like, being full-time for them is probably even harder than getting the job itself. With the constant road schedules, you're out 300 nights out of 365 days, not just traveling across America and Canada, but flying on flights, going to the Middle East, going to Australia, going to all these parts in the world, some of which dangerous, to entertain the fans from all around the world. So that's a huge commitment, especially, how old is he now? In his, like, 60s, 70s? So
yeah, probably at least.
That takes a huge toll on someone's body. Like, I can recall, I remember road trip going to Minneapolis for Steel Domain Wrestling and then going to Wisconsin for Under the Lights Entertainment. And I was even tired after three, four days in a row traveling. It gets to you. The travel bug, I love traveling, but I know for a fact if I was full-time on a WWE roster, I would get sick of the schedule very, very quickly. And you know what? I should have looked at that point as well. You know, he is getting older. The schedule is indeed too much. But, you know, who knows? We might see him again in the future, and this might not be the end for Paul Ellering in WWE.
Dude, what is up with Big Cass returning and hanging out with Shinsuke Nakamura? Now, I really was hoping, I'm really hoping that it's just Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles, and that they're going to have like a year long fucking feud, if not longer, because I don't think I could ever get tired of heel Shinsuke Nakamura up against AJ Styles. That's just like, you cannot go wrong with that. But please tell me that Big Cass is not going to be like, you know, his big bodyguard slash buddy slash hang around. Is that what's
going
on?
Yeah, I hope so.
Is this another, like, and it makes me think, like, is this another Ron and Don Harris situation? Like, you look at Shinsuke Nakamura, you look at AJ Styles, you look at the chemistry they've had in Japan, you look at the chemistry they had in WrestleMania. Yes, they could have had a little bit of a better match. Yes, it could have gone a little better. But
that's
we want to see.
Yeah.
We want to see an AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura feud. Now, no disrespect to Big Cass, but
that's not a
when you have when you have, and not just the puzzle piece that doesn't fit. And I'm not the biggest fan to criticize, but you know when you have like a flat bottle of like Mountain Dew on your table at home, and it's like 7-8 days old, and then you take a sip and it tastes like shit.
Yeah.
It's bland. That's the definition of bland. And right now with Big Cass, he's just bland and boring. I hate to say that. I hate to put that out there. He deserves to be in the WWE. I understand. He works hard, great worker. But I could name 100 people right now, including some local guys, that could put on a better show than Big Cass. I never liked him from the get-go. In my opinion, Enzo led the tag team. He always had to lead Big Cass along the way. And Enzo Amore doesn't even have a lot of experience in the industry, neither does Big Cass. And that brings me to my point. Why are we – it's kind of disrespectful when you have two of the best in the world of all time, and now you have this jobber being someone's security guard. Like, it just kind of – it ruins it. It's like you have a group of buddies over, and then you invite that one friend over that smells like shit. And it just, like, ruins it for everyone. That's kind of the situation we're looking at right now.
I hate the friend that smells like shit. That's just... What do you say to the friend that smells like shit? Lethal J, what do you
say,
man?
To the friend that...
I was really,
like shit, you gotta be honest.
Yeah, right. I was actually really, really, really worried at first because he had a small interaction with Daniel Bryan. I mean, he, like, called him, like, a little guy and all that shit. And my immediate thought was, like, I was like, oh, my Christ. I swear to God, if they start a feud with Big Cass and Daniel Bryan, my immediate thought was, what the fuck did Daniel Bryan do wrong to get this shitty end of the stick?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was like, oh, my God, that's so terrible. And I'm going to be honest. I think the reason that Cass is going to get a big push this year, the reason I say that is because Vince McMahon gets the biggest boner for big guys like Big Cass. That's like the thing right
it's
there.
True.
He just, yep. if you're a big guy and you have muscles and you have long hair, like, I don't know what, it's just like the archetype, like, it's kind of like the archetype that he looks for in a wrestler. Like, I mean, this goes back years or whatever. And I think that literally is the only reason. I think Vince just loves the guy. I think he loves the type of wrestler that he is and everything. I think he's going to get a big push based on that. So
we know Big Cass looks like a wrestler, and he looks the part very well. Big Cass looks the part as a professional wrestler very well. The part he lacks with is being a pro wrestler. And, you know, just being a pro wrestler and being able to entertain the fans. Because I remember with his feud with Enzo, there is no crowd reaction, no nothing. And in wrestling, you have to be cheered or you have to be booed in order to do your job. So I'm saying big cast, of course. Yeah, there's a lot in the tank for him. There's a lot to come, but he's not going to be the greatest of all times. Looking 10 years down the road, that's for sure. 5 years, we might. Maybe I'll give him 3 years. We'll see him on the indies, and he's going to be another Luther Reigns or something like that. I don't see too much out of this guy. I like the guy. I think he's a great person, but I think he has an acting career as opposed to a wrestling career.
The only way I'm going to accept Big Cass is if he comes down the ramp in leather pants that have frills on the side and a tank top that says Big Papa Diesel on it. Oh, wait, there's already someone that has done that. And he's already a legend. He's already awesome, and he can't be duplicated. Often imitated, never duplicated. I don't know, big ass dude. To each their own. You know, any guy that has to deal with the screechings of Carmella on a daily fucking basis is a godsend. Is a fucking godsend, dude. So you know, God bless you, big ass, for the things you have to put up with. I just hope that they find a place for you that everyone can digest and allow you to do exactly what you're doing. And that's, you know, be a professional wrestler and entertain the fans. I will leave a little bit of wiggle room and hope that Big Cass, you know, becomes a flavor that we can handle. I got a question for you guys. What are your thoughts? Is it a work or is it not a work? I think that's going to become a new segment. Is the work or is it not a work? John Cena and Nikki Bella are no longer a couple. They called it quits. They are the infamous romantic WrestleMania engagement is no longer on. No more Cena babies. No more Nikki Bella and Cena babies in the future. Are we sad about this, folks? Lethal J, what are your thoughts? Is it a work or is it not a work?
I don't think it's a work. I think it's real. That's my opinion, of course. Yeah, I think it's real. They both kind of made official statements. I know that could come off as a work for sure. But I don't think it's a work. I think it's real. I think she probably just got sick and tired of, I mean, John Cena, I mean, when he's not wrestling, he's on the Today Show or he's making a movie or he's hosting the Teen Choice Awards. Like, the guy's probably never around, you know, and it's
right.
Just, I don't know. I don't think it's a work at all. I think it's real. I think that they are probably parting ways for good. I mean, well, who knows? Maybe not for good, but I mean, for at least for now, it seems to me personally that I think that they are done.
Jordan JR, sir, what do you think? Is it a work or are we done with the Cena Bella Nation?
Oh, you know, fuck. This is a topic where, like, you know, talk about John Cena being like one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, one of the greatest talents. You know, this is what wrestling's supposed to be about. And ever since they came up with this Total Bellas reality show relationship shit, like, honestly, I don't know. I think, to be honest, in this situation, all the fans all together, oh, John Cena and Nikki Bella have broken up. I don't think anyone honestly gives a fuck. Because, like,
that's not
get
true.
Relation-
that's not true.
Well, some people do, but it's like, who cares? Like, it's a relationship, right? Things, it either happens or it doesn't. And then if not, like, you move on. Now, I understand. The only reason why I don't feel bad about this breakup is because, oh, they're celebrities. They can recover from this. They can move on. You know, these are two people that are making millions of dollars, and I think that they could easily get over each other. This is just another locker room. So, like, I get it. Yeah, they're going to get married, but look at how many divorces have happened. Look at how many breakups in wrestling have happened. When it comes to relationships and wrestling, honestly, it's just, even relationships in general, a big fucking waste of time to talk about, because we want to talk about the professional wrestling industry, and John Cena should be an ambassador to the professional wrestling industry, and he is, and he's one of the he's the best of all time. I'm not going to lie, but I want to see him in wrestling news. I don't want to see him on the Entertainment Network about John Cena and Nikki Bella are separated, they're broken up. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit if, like, this wrestling couple is breaking up. I'm a wrestling fan. I want to watch wrestling. I don't want to see love and stupid bullshit. Like, yeah, they had a great relationship. It's great while it lasted. Oh, have a drink. Move on. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Hey, Lethal J.
Yo.
I think what Jordan Jerry Garber is trying to say is that he doesn't give a fuck. Is what
I agree. I'm a little bit in the same boat. Like, I mean, I don't really care. I mean, I don't think it's like he said, like this shit. I mean, this shit happens all the time. And I mean, it's like, you know, there's people that separate all the time or whatever. And it's not always on the news. The only reason it's on the news is because they're famous. And it just doesn't matter to me, in my opinion. I don't think it's a work. So
if it wasn't on the news, it wouldn't be talked about. And it's like 2 weeks ago, someone at work, there was someone at work 3 days ago that broke up with their girlfriend. Am I going to go make a fucking news story about it and put it on the internet saying, John from work and Sally broke up? No one gives a flying fuck. Like, this is a wrestling podcast. You want to talk about wrestling. You don't want to talk about what's outside of wrestling. You want to talk about the business. You want to talk about the stories. You know, women, it's pro wrestling. That will always be there. And I think that's what John Cena needs to realize.
Well, me on the other hand, I am just
Jordan,
really
happy.
Jordan,
I think what Brad's trying to say is that he does give a fuck.
Well, you have to tune into the next episode of Total Divas to find out what the relationship status is. But honestly, aside from those comments, you know, if we want to look on a personal note, and this is only outside of wrestling, personal level, outside of the business, everything's said and done out of the news, I really hope that John Cena gets bigger and better throughout this, and as well as Nikki Bella or Brie Bella. I can't tell the fucking difference between the both of them. But John Cena recovers, and I hope Nikki recovers, because, yeah, a breakup's a big thing, but it always annoys me when it's mentioned in the media. It should be a personal issue, not a public issue.
Well, that's I like to talk about it. But anyways, before Jordan J.R. Garber's head explodes on Instagram Live, which you guys can go check out right now on Instagram.
I am live.
Jordan, he is live right now. And we're going to start doing that more often. I think maybe Serious Brad is going to go live on Instagram here in a little bit as well. Why not? Because it's fun. And you get to see Jordan J.R. like get really, really mad and turn red.
Oh, yeah.
When he's talking about issue.
I throw things sometimes, so Instagram's in for a treat.
Yeah. Yeah, don't throw too many things, though.
Don't throw things. All right. I want to get kicked out of my house, but I might say the odd swear word or two. And you guys can also see my cat. He's laying down, so everyone around the world can see my kitty, Egypt. He's chilling. He watches wrestling. And he doesn't even care about the John Cena, Nikki Bella. Right when you guys brought that up, actually, he turned his head all the way to the other side of the room. So that's his thoughts on that.
All right, listen. We're going to stop talking about that. Maybe we'll touch on it later. I don't know. But I really want to talk about NXT. I love WWE, and I wanted to touch on the shakeup and what's going on with them. You know, of course, some talent from NXT has shown up with Raw and SmackDown, but I want to talk about what's going on within NXT right now. We got Aleister Black as the heavyweight championship champion. We've got, of course, Shayna Baszler, who is the women's champion. We've got some awesome tag team champions. We got the new North American champion within Undisputed Era. This NXT, for lack of better words, for the coin a phrase from Lethal J, is stacked. I'm absolutely enjoying NXT. I love Aleister Black as the heavyweight champion, and what I love more about Aleister Black as a heavyweight champion is his first contender, and that is Johnny Wrestling himself. Johnny Gargano has officially, and this is a spoiler, folks. I apologize if you have not watched NXT tonight. You guys should know by now if you listen to Pinnacle's podcast. You're going to get some spoilers. But Johnny Gargano has officially tonight announced that he is facing Aleister Black, not at a pay-per-view. Check this shit. On the next NXT show. So that's awesome. I don't know about you guys, but I love Aleister Black. An amazing talent. Johnny Gargano, Johnny Wrestling, against each other for the heavyweight championship next week on NXT, WWE Network, $9.99. I can't wait to see this. I'm hoping that this is one of those, you know, from bell to bell, it's just an absolute amazing match, which I have no doubt is going to be, but I hope it's not a disqualification either. I hope it's not one of those, you know, someone comes in and, oh, fuck, dude, what?
What, Lethal J? I hate to take the wind out of yourself, Brad, but, they did the tapings about a week ago or so for the next couple months, and I'm going to tell you right now that it's I don't think that Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa are through yet.
God damn it, Ciampa.
I definitely don't think so. Spoiler alert, as Brad said, I'll spill some shit on the latest tapings. So yes, you are correct. Johnny Gargano does call out Aleister Black. But the match will not happen because Ciampa beats the ever-loving piss out of Gargano and he gets pulled out on a stretcher. So, So I'm sorry to take the wind out of your sails. Sorry to spoil that for some people who are looking forward to that match. But that match doesn't happen. And like I said, And me personally, I don't have a problem with it because if they want to put on another show like they did at TakeOver, then I'm all for that, quite frankly. But, that unfortunately
folks,
is the direction they're heading.
And, folks, you can send all of your hate mail to LethalJ at P.O. Box. I'm just kidding. But, you know, I'm excited about, you know, the no more spoilers, LethalJ. We're going to talk about it. Like you don't have your inside stuff, but I want to know who. Here's a little topic of information, a little topic that we can touch on. We got the Undisputed Era. We got Adam Cole as North American Heavyweight Champion. We got the Tag Team Champions in there. And that's another thing. I don't know who the other partner is. Is it Roderick Strong or is it Adam Cole? Because I've seen them both hold the belt.
It's Roderick Strong.
It is Roderick Strong. Okay. So you got the Undisputed Era. They're stacked with gold right now. My question is, who is going to be the guys, the Thundercats, if you will, that are going to go up against the Undisputed Era? Do you guys have any thoughts on that? Jordan J.R. Garber, what's your thought on that? Do you think do you have anyone special lined up? Do you think, do you have any predictions on who is going to be the next Undisputed Era victim?
You look at the entire NXT roster as a whole, and I think evenly, everyone on the NXT roster is at risk of being a victim of the Undisputed Era. And kind of sidetracking, I like the addition of Roderick Strong at TakeOver. I thought that was great.
That's perfect.
And it's what makes the Undisputed Era so genuine is that Roderick Strong, Bobby Fish, I both met actually at a Ring of Honor. It was at the beginning. This was 12 p.m. or whatever. I met him when I got to the venue in Hopkins, Minnesota. And I have never met two more of the humblest guys in professional wrestling than I have by meeting Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish. And to see them here in WWE NXT, this Undisputed Era, Adam Cole, Roderick Strong, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, all share the same history in Ring of Honor. And Ring of Honor, that's huge. And to make a name for yourself, four people to do that there and then transfer to the WWE, the grandest stage of pro wrestling, and to make the same impact, but if not bigger, and not just work-wise but shoot-wise, this is great. This is great for the WWE. This is great for the new era of professional wrestling, and things like this is what is going to keep professional wrestling going. Not the breakup of John Cena and Nikki Bella, but but stuff like this. It's great. It's great to see the Undisputed Era in WWE. It's great to see the North American Championship. I'm old school. I'm wrestling. The odd talking and stuff like that. I love to talk, ask anybody and that's ever talked to me. But there's only enough for that. And when it comes to the Undisputed Era, it just they just put you in a whole new world, man. Watching them is fantastic.
Oh,
and it's great to see, as I'm going to say one more time, it's great to see Roderick Strong with the Undisputed Era. And it's great to see Adam Cole, the NXT North American champion.
And I hope they don't break up their girlfriends.
Well, you have to – actually, I want to give a shout-out to Adam Cole's girlfriend, Britt Baker, because she was supposed to be on the Jordan Garber Now podcast, but due to scheduling restraints, we weren't able to get her on, a.k.a. thank my fucking job. But Britt Baker, Adam Cole, like that's a wrestling couple. We need to – you want to talk – I don't like talking about couples and stuff like that, but if you're talking about wrestling couples – Britt Baker bleeds wrestling. Adam Cole bleeds wrestling. You're looking at a lifelong relationship with those two. And the big question is, too, we saw Britt Baker on WWE once. Are we going to see Britt Baker on WWE again? I think so, but it's only a matter of time.
Undisputed Era needs a chick, man.
Absolutely.
Go up against Candice LeRae? Oh, man, that just makes me happy inside. That just makes that makes all the tickle in me go. That's if that's even a saying.
Well, with if you want to be a successful, and I've been talking about this on last week's episode of women's wrestling improving so much and so vividly, and that examples like that is why I don't like talking about these whole breakup stories. Let's talk about what the women's division is about, and let's look about what they can do and the matches that they do put on and stuff like that, not dramatic tweets and, you know, entertainment gossip. We're looking at NXT, and every woman on that roster can perform to the highest level of extent and put on a 5-star match, and I respect the hell out of those women for that because you know, it just it's a contribution. Everybody as a whole on that NXT roster is going to take it to the next level. And Shayna Baszler as well. Holy crap, what a badass. NXT has it all right now. And the question is, what else are they going to throw our way?
You know what? That's what I'm looking forward to, man. That's what I love about the new – the beginning season of professional wrestling. There's so much to look forward to, so much that can happen, so many doors that are going to be open. And I'm really looking for, I'm hoping that they flood the WWE a little more with women professional wrestlers, because I honestly, dude, I want to see a women's tag division so bad. They could do it. They could totally do it, man. And, It would be a great addition to Raw, to SmackDown, to any one of their shows. It doesn't have to be a flag show, but I don't know, man. Women's tag team division. That's what's up, dude. I would love to see, you know, I don't know, Asuka and Shayna Baszler. When that, I mean, have them tag up together down the line. I don't know, but. Actually, you know what, Lethal J, who would be a good tag team, a women's tag team? Who would be your dream team if WWE or any promotion right now was like, hey, we're going to do a women's tag team division and we're going to start this now. Who would be your pick? And you could team up anyone.
I'd like to see like an MMA kind of stable come up. So, I don't know, Rousey could be involved, but Baszler and it's the one that hangs out with Absolution. Shit, I can't even think of her name. Pigtails.
Mandy Rose.
Mandy Rose.
Yeah, is it that her name? Yeah, anyway, actually, isn't Mandy Rose the blonde?
Yeah.
No, Liv. You're thinking of Liv then.
Sonya Deville.
Yeah. Sonya Deville, thank you. Yeah, Sonya Deville. Yeah. So it'd be cool to see something like that. You know, I could say they would obviously mesh real well together, you know, kind of with MMA backgrounds and everything like that. That'd be a good one.
That would be a good one. Jordan, what do you think, man? What would be a good tag team for your women's pick right now?
Oh, man, there's so much to just – man, that's a big loaded question. I want to mix new school up a little bit with old school. Now, if Paige could still wrestle, which she couldn't because she has a neck injury and she – never say never. You brought this up last week, Brad. Daniel Bryan had a neck injury and he returned, and he returned at WrestleMania and he was great. Will we see the future in Paige? If so, Paige, new school mixed with old school, and that's Trish Stratus or Lita. Could you imagine that team? That'd be huge.
Yeah, that would be a good one. I wouldn't mind seeing Nikki Cross from Sanity team up with Sarah Logan. I think those two could tear it up hard. And then of course Charlotte and Asuka. I know I said Asuka and I forgot who I even said, but I think Charlotte and Asuka would be one hell of a tag team as well. I don't know, but my top pick would be Sarah Logan and Nikki Cross. I think those guys would just brutalize the women's tag team division.
That's absolutely.
That's just my pick. And guys, I need to, before we get to the end of the show, of course, we're going to give shout outs to our sponsors, and the number one being thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Of course, we're going to give you a little spot from them real quick.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And, of course, we give shout-outs to our other sponsors, Collar and Elbow. Go and check them out, collarandelbowbrand.com. Put in your promo code, SeriousBrad. Get that 10% off. They got some awesome spring gear right now. They added a lot of color to their spring line this year. I promise you guys, there's some dope gear over there. Go check it out. HiQ Hydration Energy Liquid, HiQ.com. Go check them out. They are an all-natural energy drink that's going to be hitting the scene here real soon. Go check them out. And, of course, our buddy Tim over at SquaredCircleApparel.com. He's got some clothing. He's got some hats. He's got a huge line of hats. And, of course, summer is coming. We all need a good mesh back, snap back hat. And go to SquaredCircleApparel.com and put in SeriousBrad in the promo code. Get 15% off of that. And, of course, our favorite people in the world, our listeners, thank you guys for listening to us week in and week out, and listening to our voices and listening to all of our pain and sorrow about professional wrestling and the world of professional wrestling. And of course, we've learned what our pet peeves are tonight with Jordan J.R. Garber. So don't be calling into the show and talking about breakups or anything like that. We need to be talking about professional wrestling on this son of a bitch.
Less breakups, more wrestling.
Yes. Less breakups, more wrestling. You know, I know there's other stuff that we need to be talking about. Guys, can you think of anything right now that, you know, we should be touching on in the world of professional wrestling? I know, you know, there's, you know, we could talk about, you know, the biggest Royal Rumble that's happening here in India. Is there any, like, snap predictions that you guys may have for the pay-per-view? I said India, I apologize. In Saudi Arabia, that's going to be happening here real soon. Do you think this is all going to be incorporated with the storyline that's happening now, or do you think this is going to be a, you know, just kind of, I can't think of a centralized specific storyline within this pay-per-view?
No, yeah. I think this is like a recognized event. Yeah,
well,
I think it's definitely going to like, definitely a storyline. I mean, the storyline, I mean, they just announced Styles and Nakamura are going to have another match. So that's kind of leading on a storyline. Of course, like I was talking about earlier, I expect Reigns to go over on Lesnar finally, which is kind of following through with yet another storyline and stuff like that. I don't know what I want to know is what the winner of this gets. I haven't heard anything on that, like if they get like a shot at the title at SummerSlam or if they get a shot at the title at all or anything, but I think
Samoa
it'll be
Joe
part of
said
one.
Something about it at SmackDown, but you said Universal title and it kind of confused me. I don't know if that was a FUPA or not, but I think he was referring to the winner of that match. I don't know. I shouldn't even be talking about it because I can't remember what he said. But no, I'm kind of looking forward to this pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia. I heard that they're actually, you know, doing a lot of stuff over there right now. They're actually recruiting people. They've got their performance center over there, training people, recruiting people to be part of. I can't say branch. What'd you call it? A branch? Kind of like a branch over there. But you know, this kind of just shows that WWE is, you know, opening their doors, kind of stemming out with the UK, with Japan, with all their tournaments that they're having. Do you think this is going to have a significant effect on the dynamic of how the WWE is spreading in within the world? Do you think this is going to be a huge hit, or do you think it's going to be a bomb? Jordan, J.R. Garber, what do you think about this event in Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, obviously we know for a fact that this is going to be a big event in Saudi Arabia because we have all the championships online, we have all the big matches, and this could be a hint at WWE looking at a new market. You bring up the training and the developing these guys in Saudi Arabia is not going to be easy personally, because you're talking about a country where you have one or two promotions there and that's it. There's a lot of talent there's a lot of people in Saudi Arabia who might not have the same skill set as there would be as wrestlers and journalists like myself in America and Canada. And that's just because of the lack of resources that they do have there. But what WWE is doing is that they're providing these resources and they're trying to find resources to train these people trying to make a dream for themselves. Train them right from scratch. Like if you're making a fucking chicken broth and you're making it from scratch, this is basically what they're going to be doing here. If you're in Saudi Arabia and you're listening and you're looking for a tryout, chance at making it, be big, be charismatic. That's pretty much all you can do because you guys don't have much experience under your belt. So it's good to see how they're going to have a performance center here in Saudi Arabia and they're going to develop that country into professional wrestling. And I think that's a good thing, not just for wrestling, but for just the world uniting together and sharing the same common interest. I'm very excited about the Greatest Royal Rumble. As 50 man, I don't have any big predictions right now because this is kind of out of the blue. It's not every day where you see a WWE pay-per-view starting at 11 in the morning taking place in Kabul or wherever it is in Saudi Arabia. But it's a 66,000 seating stadium. Wrestling can be a market in Saudi Arabia. It's great how they're having a WWE pay-per-view show there. Develop these guys. Make these guys bust their ass in Saudi Arabia. Let's see some more independent wrestling in Saudi Arabia. Let's get independent wrestling everywhere, and let's all unite as one and help each other. I like what they're doing with this pay-per-view idea.
Heck yeah, man. I just like the idea of wrestling just spreading around. Because, you know,
absolutely.
There's always that stigma with professional wrestling. Oh, it's fake. Oh, it's professional. Why do you watch professional wrestling? You know, what's the point? It's a bunch of men, you know, sweaty men in their underwear wrestling. Shut up. It's awesome. It's spreading. It's worldwide. It's undeniable at this point. And, you know, just anyone that says that anymore at this point, I feel, with as much as it's catching on, largest episodic show in the world WWE produces, longest episodic. It's just almost ignorant for people to talk like that anymore. So I'm just really excited to see professional wrestling kind of touch every part of the globe. that people are coming around to it. People are enjoying it. They're just looking at it as fun, as entertainment. I think when WWE went, it sucks. Everyone, you know, everyone loved saying WWF, and everyone curses the wildlife, World Wildlife Federation or whatever, for, you know, suing them and losing the name. But I think when WWE went to WWE World Wrestling Entertainment, I think that was the best move that they could have done, because that kind of brackets them in just that entertainment. It's entertainment. And it kind of almost changed the stigma of professional wrestling. And I think it's finally coming around. I think people are realizing it's a fun thing to do. It's something you bring with your family. It's something that, you know, unites the whole fucking world. WrestleMania brings literally, you know, everyone from every part of the world to one spot to watch a 4 to 5 hour pay-per-view, and they fly the fuck back to wherever they come from. It's just that alone shows how awesome professional wrestling is, and if you're an open-minded person, how fun it can be for you. But that's my take on it. Guys, this has been an awesome show. We've caught up on, I think, on almost everything that we could possibly catch up on. Is there anything else, guys, that you guys want to kind of throw out there before we say goodnight to our listeners? And by the way, next week, folks, we're going to be having Fox Vineyard on the show. He's an independent wrestler. He's also part of Ring of Honor. And we're looking forward to having him on the show next week. So make sure you're tuning in to that live interview, Fox Vineyard. He's a very interesting professional wrestler. Go check him out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. This guy knows how to wrestle, and he definitely has his own style of presenting his wrestling charisma, if you will. But that's going to be next week. Guys, is there anything else that you guys that you would like to add before we end the show tonight?
Watch NXT.
Boom.
Yeah, go watch NXT. Boom. To touch a little bit on what we were talking about earlier with the tag teams there, keep an eye on my guess. The next NXT tag champs, in my opinion, will be War Machine, or as they're called now, War Raiders. So keep an eye on them. You'll see them in the coming weeks. They were part of the tapings. So, yeah, you'll see them. You'll see a bunch of big talent.
They were on tonight. Yeah, they were on tonight. Yeah, they crushed them. So.
So I won't give away any more spoilers, but there's some big stuff, big feuds coming up. You're going to get to see Ricochet, you're going to get to see Velveteen Dream, Adam Cole, so yeah, lots of good stuff with NXT. Watch NXT.
Booyah. Jordan J.R. Garber.
Yes, watch NXT, as Lethal J said. Lots of great wrestling going on, not just in WWE, but from all over the world. Follow me on Twitter at Jordan J. Garber. I have a show, Jordan Garber Now is back, every Tuesday, 10:30 p.m. Central on VOCNation.com. Be sure to check that out. I will be refereeing again on April the 28th at Doubles Fun Club in Winnipeg, Manitoba, 20 Alpine Avenue, for Premier Championship Wrestling as they present Thunderstruck. At the end of the show, Robbie Royce and Anderson Tyson Moore proceeded to attack promoter and bloody promoter Andrew Shellcross, and me and the rest of the officials had to break up that altercation. What will happen on the 28th? It all goes down at Doubles Fun Club. For some exclusive stories, for even me talking to people that couldn't even understand the service reminder because they're stupid, check out my Snapchat, Jordan J. Garber, Instagram, Jordan J. Garber, of course, Twitter, Jordan J. Garber. Everyone that listens to myself as well, it's honestly, I thank all of you guys, because it's because of the fans that listen that make me do what I want to do every week. And another great episode of Pin the Shoulders podcast. And I cannot wait to be on Pin the Shoulders podcast on the Chairshot Radio Network next week. It's going to be a great show.
Bada bing. And of course, guys, go check out Serious Brad on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, at Serious Brad. And of course, we have a Twitter account for Pin the Shoulders podcast and Instagram at Serious B Podcast. And guys, you want, you know, thechairshot.com. We've got everything that you need. Go check them out. And of course, we've got shirts now. Go to Pro Wrestling Tees. go to ProWrestlingTees.com and get your very own chair, the chairshot.com shirt. Hashtag always use your head.
And I'm getting mine.
That's right. I'm going to get mine too, man. You know, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, maybe we'll see a Pin the Shoulders podcast t-shirt on that site here coming up soon. But, you know, thank you to thechairshot.com, Collar and Elbow, High Q Hydration Energy, Squared Circle Apparel, grapplemerch.com, and of course the fans. We love you guys so much. We do this day in and day out for you guys. And we as super fans love becoming bigger fans alongside you guys. Folks, you have a good night. And next week we have Fox Vineyard on the show. So we're looking forward to talking with him and him about his professional wrestling career, what it's like hanging out with wrestlers of Ring of Honor and wrestling the cats of Ring of Honor. You know, we're doing exactly what we love to do, and that's bring professional wrestling to your ears every single Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, thechairshot.com, the Chair Shot Radio Network. We love you guys. Have a good night, and remember, it's never a bad time to be serious.